Today's scripture reading comes from Matthew 28, 16 through 20. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age."
As we turn our attention to today's scripture passage, I invite you to join me in prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be life-giving and life-affirming, O Holy One, for in you is wholeness and peace. Amen. So I think most of us, if not perhaps all of us, have heard today's scripture story. Jesus is with his disciples for the final time, according to the gospel writer. His resurrection has occurred. The disciples have gone to the mountain in Galilee to meet Jesus there as he requested. And I find it interesting that the writer makes a point of telling us that even among these committed followers who made that journey to Galilee, there were still a few who had doubts. Even though they've journeyed through this disappointment and despair, this shock and wonder, even still, some doubted. They weren't quite sure what to make of what happened and what was to come. And the writer tells us that Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, and so go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. And remember that I am with you always, even to the end of the age." "Go," Jesus said, "teach people to follow me the way I have taught you, and remember that I will always be there alongside you." Over the years, this scripture passage has come to be known as the Great Commission. If you ever heard that phrase, this passage is the Great Commission. We find that Jesus gathered with his disciples, taught them all he can, reminded them of what it is they already know. And in his parting words, he calls them to share with others what they've learned, to share with others what Jesus taught them about God, about mercy and forgiveness, about justice and shalom. And so it's fitting, I think, it's fitting to share with others what has made such a difference in our living, to share the passion of Christ, the passion Jesus lived for you and for me and for all. It's fitting. For that passion is what shapes us and shapes what we're called to do. But I recognize it as well that this scripture text is not just about me or you as individuals. It's also about Jesus' followers as a community. Many churches recognize these words of Jesus, this commission, as their identity. More than simply Jesus entrusting them with the authority to do these things, it becomes their definition of their way of being together. Now, our call as a body of Christ is to make disciples, to help people follow Jesus in the very moments of living out their days. And I love that, because that is fitting to the meaning and purpose of who we are as individuals and to the meaning and purpose of who we are as community. And yet I need to confess to you that for quite a few years now, I've had a discomfort over using this Great Commission as the sole descriptor of who we are. We make disciples. Then I heard this quote from Carl Jung about 3 or 4 years ago. Carl Jung says, "Are we to understand the imitation of Christ in the sense that we should copy his life, or in a deeper sense that we are to live our own lives as truly as Christ lived his?" Jung says, "It is no easy matter to live a life that is modeled on Christ's, but it is unspeakably harder to live one's own life as truly as Christ lived his. It is unspeakably harder to live one's own life as authentically, in your own way, as Jesus lived his." And but that's what Jesus calls us to do, right? To live out the gifts and graces we have in the fashion that he lived his. We're not to be imitators of Jesus as if there was some video camera set up throughout his life that we can look at that tells us the mannerisms and the hand motions and the words to say. You are called to know yourself. You are called to know the person of worth and value and courage and wisdom that you are in God. For that is who you are in God, a person of worth and value filled with courage and wisdom. And then you're called to live that as best you can. So to ask, what would Jesus do, right? That was the late 80s, early 90s popular question. What would Jesus do is a great place to start, but it's not where we stop, because we are called to live from our own giftedness in the manner of Jesus Christ. It takes time to do this because we have to invest in understanding who we understand Jesus to be and who we understand ourselves to be in that. And it takes a lifetime to live it out. Carl Jung's statement is a powerful statement for a congregation, for First Christian Church as well, because he reminds us that we are called to be the best First Christian Church we know how to be. We're not called to become Jesus in manner and speech. We are called to become most fully who we are. You see, the Great Commission doesn't tell us how we make disciples and how we help people follow Jesus in their living. But we are called to live authentically and fully who we are in God. So identifying that, who we are, is what we've spent this summer doing. The members of your vision team have been privileged to spend the summer listening. Listening to your experiences, listening to your hopes and dreams, listening to your heart. And I truly mean a privilege to listen. And we heard about deep relationships that support us into being more fully who we are. We heard about the many, many ways over the years that we have helped our Drake neighbors, our Des Moines neighbors, and what an integral part of our faith understanding social justice truly is for us. We heard about how important our children are to us, not because there's some hope for the future, but they are important to us because they are leaders in our congregation today, teaching us, helping us become better followers of Christ. We heard how vital worship is to the life of our community, and that the freedom to follow the questions of faith and life that we each individually have, and the encouragement to seek and understand our own answers, is what helps us thrive in faith. These are the things that shape our identity. These are the ways that we understand what following Christ looks like. These are what guide our choices in living, and what calls us not only into being, but onward into action in God's love alongside others. Over the next couple weeks, we're going to look more closely at the values that have been named, because you see, the more deeply we understand these values in Christ, the more deeply we live them and strive to become them authentically. Things like radical hospitality and compassion, questioning faith and equity and justice, and just what does it mean to do this alongside others. These values are transformative. They're transformative in your living. They're transformative in my living. They are transformative in our congregation. And I pray, through the grace of God, you and I become vessels offering transformation into the community as well. There's one thing that you know for sure, because you named it in those sessions this summer. The common thread across the conversations is that we know that there is still much work for us to do. There is still much love for us to give. We hear God's voice not just reminding us of the past. We hear God's voice calling us onward into work and ministry in the future. It's not about our past. It's about our present and our future. So go and do this, Jesus said. His final words, according to the writer of Matthew, and these are words that are expanding. These are words that are growing, and perhaps for them it felt a little impossible at first. But at the same time, Jesus promised, I will walk alongside you on the way. And we too have that same promise. So as we go, we know that God is present. As we gather, we know that God is active, that God is creating and recreating in our midst. It is my prayer that through God's Spirit, we find ourselves transformed, even as we become vessels of transformation here. Amen.